From the Way of Truth Ministries in Altoona, Pennsylvania, comes the Living Truth Radio Broadcast. Hi, I'm Jim O'Brien, and it's a delight for us to be invited into your day with another edition of the Living Truth. In a few moments, the founder and president of the Way of Truth Ministries, Dr. Gary Dull, will present another practical study from God's Word, the Bible. To contact us with a prayer request or information about this ministry, I'll return to give our contact information at the end of this broadcast. But now, here's Pastor Gary with his study for today.
Well, thank you, Jim O'Brien, and greetings, dear friends, in the precious name of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a delight it is to be able to come to you on this Friday edition of the Living Truth program as we conclude our study on prayer. Our theme this week has been Pray Without Ceasing, and we've covered a lot of material. And by the way, today we're going to cover a whole lot of material. In fact, I would encourage you to get a piece of paper and pencil or pen out and be ready to take notes, because I don't have the time on the program today to delve into the material that I want to give you in any depth. But I do want to give you this material so that you can write it down and study it on your own. We've been talking about the importance of prayer. Our theme is Pray Without Ceasing this week, taken from 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that says that very thing, pray without ceasing. And then in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, God says, call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's a tremendous verse of scripture. And when we pray, we are told there by God himself that he will show us great things, things that we can't even imagine. He will show us mighty things. And in reality, that speaks of things that are concealed, that the only way we will ever know about them is through prayer. And so when we pray, we are able to see God work. And we define prayer as the communion or the fellowship of the believer's heart with God that is conducted through praise, intercession, supplication, submission, confession, and waiting upon the Lord, that has the goal to glorify God in all things. Now, that's what we studied this week. And if you missed any of these studies, I would encourage you to contact us and ask for the notes and the outlines, as well as a CD of this particular study, if you would. But right now, as we conclude this study, I want to give you motivations for unceasing prayer. In fact, I want to give you 12 of them. And that's why I said a moment ago, I would encourage you to get a piece of paper and pencil or a pen to write these down, because I obviously do not have the time to dig into them. I'm going to give you the motivations and scripture that goes along with those motivations so that you can study them through on your own. Are you ready? Here we go. 12 motivations for unceasing prayer. Number one, we should pray to glorify God. And that's important. And we see that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where the Lord Jesus, when he taught us how to pray, began that great prayer by saying, Hallowed be thy name. That involves the idea of glorifying God. Secondly, we should pray to fellowship with God. We should pray to fellowship with God. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, talks about the fact that the heart pants after God, and we should pant after God as does the heart panting for the waters. And the fact of the matter is, we should want to fellowship with God as much as the heart or the deer likes to drink water. Think about that. The third motivation for unceasing prayer is that we should pray to obey God. God gives us this command. We should pray to obey God. We've been emphasizing Jeremiah 33:3 throughout the course of this week, where God tells us to call unto him and we should obey him. The fourth motivation for unceasing prayer is that we should pray to have God meet our needs. We should pray to have God meet our needs. I've heard people say, well, I never pray for myself. Well, we ought to do that. Because in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, once again, when the Lord Jesus is giving that sample prayer, he says, as we pray, pray, give us this day our daily bread. That means that we should ask God for provision. Number five, a motivation to pray is that we should pray to receive divine wisdom in trials. We should pray to receive divine wisdom in trials. James chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us that if we lack wisdom, we should ask God for that wisdom, and he will give it. But indeed, we must ask in faith. So we pray to receive divine wisdom, or what I like to say, spiritual insight to the various trials and circumstances of life. Number six, another motivation to pray is that we should pray to be delivered in times of stress. We should pray to be delivered in times of stress. In Psalm 18 and verse 6, the psalmist said, "In distress I called unto the Lord." Rather than worrying in the time of distress, we should pray. Number seven, we should pray to overcome worry and anxiety. That's a big one, isn't it? We should pray to overcome worry and anxiety. Of course, the key verse there, or the key passage there, is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where it says that when we go to the Lord, we should pray truly and with praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord, rather than worry, rather than being filled with anxiety, we should pray. Then, number eight, we should pray to confess our sin. We should pray to confess our sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, and we do that through prayer, agreeing with God that we've wronged him, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A ninth motivation for unceasing prayer is that we should pray for the good of all people. We should pray for the good of all people. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us that we should pray for all men, women, boys, and girls. We should be praying for them that they would come to Christ and serve the Lord and have their needs met. Number 10, we should pray for those in authority. We should pray for those in authority. As is recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, it simply tells us to pray for those who are in authority. We like to complain about those who are in government, who are in authority. But you know what? If we prayed more, maybe we would have to complain less. Think about that. Number 11, we should pray for the salvation of souls. That should be a great motivation for prayer. Praying for the salvation of souls. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul said there, "My prayer and heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved." We should pray that souls come to Christ. And then the 12th motivation for unceasing prayer is that we should pray for the spiritual growth of others. We should pray for the spiritual growth of others. That's found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, where the Apostle Paul was praying for the spiritual growth and development of the Colossian believers. And so I ask you, is prayer a part of your life? It should be. And on Monday, I began the broadcast by asking three questions. Number one, how is your prayer life? Number two, what kind of a grade would you give to your prayer life? And number three, what kind of a grade would God give you for your prayer life? Prayer is to be a part of our life. The more we pray, the more we will see God work. The more we pray, the less we will stumble and fall into sin. The more we pray, the closer we will draw to the Lord. How is your prayer life? Now remember, when you pray, it's important to pray faith believing that God is going to work. It's also important when we pray to pray that God will be glorified. We should not pray just that it might be better for us or that we might get something that we want. James tells us that ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. That's brought out in James chapter 4. I remember a number of years ago, my wife and I were invited to go to a lady's house and speak with her. And when we got there, she said, "You know, I've been praying for my husband's salvation for 30 years. And she said, I've been praying for that because I believe that if he would come to Christ, I would be able to have a more peaceful life. And yet she said, God hasn't answered. I said, well, the reason God hasn't answered, ma'am, is because you have been praying that your husband would be saved for your betterment. And I brought out this passage of scripture from James chapter 4 and verse 3, where it says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. I said, you've been praying, ma'am, that your husband would get saved, that you might live a better life and have an easier life. She said, I never thought about that. And so I said, you pray that God will save your husband for God's glory. We prayed there. She continued to pray. And within a month, she called me and she said, guess what? My husband got saved. Why? Because she prayed that God would be glorified. And so I trust this little series has been a help to you. There's a lot that we could share about prayer that we just don't have the time to get into. But here's the point that I want to leave with you today as we conclude this series. Let's not just talk about prayer. Let's not just sing about prayer. Let's not just study about prayer. But let's pray. The more prayer-minded we are, the more spiritually effective we will be. When we pray without ceasing, God works without boundaries. That's been our theme this week. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And remember that when we pray without ceasing, God works without boundaries. Think about that. Thank you for joining me today. Have a great weekend, and then the Lord willing, Monday, we'll gather around the radio once again. Go to church on Sunday, and until Monday, keep looking up. The best is yet to come, for Jesus could return again today. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Gary, for that very practical study from the Bible. What a blessing it is to learn from the pages of Scripture through your clear teaching. Beloved, here at the Way of Truth Ministries, we have a genuine desire to serve you spiritually. If you have a prayer request or desire a copy of the notes or outlines or even a CD of today's program, please contact us. There's no charge for the materials, but we would appreciate a donation of $5 for the notes and $10 for the CD to defray the cost of shipping and handling. Our address is The Way of Truth Ministries, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602. You can reach us by email at wot@wotbm.org. Please visit our website at www.wotbm.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. We're looking forward to being with you on our next Living Truth broadcast. Until then, on behalf of Pastor Gary Dahl, I'm Jim O'Brien saying, God be with you till we meet again.